I want you to turn to somebody and tell them, I am free and I am unlimited. I am free and I am unlimited. I am free and I am unlimited. Because above all, somebody said, I think Richard said it, we all want to be free. Don't you? We all want to be free in our expressions, free in our being. We all desire that. So this is another day, a new day filled with ups and downs, twists and turns, joys and sorrows. We talked about that a little bit last week, that life comes complete with all of those experiences. It's all par for the course in this experience called life. Yesterday, I officiated at a funeral here at the church service for a beloved young man who, just 4 days after his 40th birthday, experienced a massive stroke, which left him unable to talk or to move any part of his body. And the condition is called, is known as locked-in syndrome. Because imagine that. You're present, but you cannot move your body. You cannot move any part of your body. And so this is where the person is aware, the person is awake, but they cannot communicate verbally, or they cannot move physically due to the complete paralysis of nearly every voluntary muscle in the body, except for the eyes. Now, in some cases, even the eyes are paralyzed. Now, it's been said that the eyes are the windows of the soul. We've all heard that, right? I mean, if you really want to feel a person, do what? Look into their eyes. Don't look at their mouth as they're talking, because all you're going to hear, Look into the eyes. It's the windows of the soul. And thank God he could still express himself through his eyes. He could laugh and smile through his eyes. He could cry. When I went to see him, when it first happened, all he could do was just cry. You know, that's it. But later on, I understand that somebody told me yesterday that they spent time with him and, you know, that they laughed, that he could laugh through his eyes, right? Thank God that he could say yes or no through his eyes. He could blink yes, no. He could even find the expression of maybe question or doubt through his eyes. And in the midst of his circumstance, he could make his presence known and felt. You knew he was there. He was in there. Through his suffering, in the midst of all of his suffering, he was still present. In fact, he could do nothing else except be present. Present to his circumstance, present to his condition. There was no escape. There was no distraction. There was no running away. See, very often we have that ability, right, to distract ourselves and go run away, go play golf, or go do some other activity. We can get away from the situation and not be present. But in that circumstance, there was no running. There no distraction, no getting away. He had to be present. You see, friends, this is a key point in life. Because when you are truly present to any situation or circumstance or condition, that presence, being right there, is the actual point of transformation. That when you are present to your situation and your circumstance, that is when you can transform it and you can change it. For beloved Clarence, that was also the blessing of his transition into the ultimate transformation, so that he could free his spirit from the body. So we don't look at it as a horrible situation. Sometimes people don't understand death and see it as a negative thing, but it's sometimes the very healing that the soul needs. And we're going to have that healing, every single one of us anyway. So in this life, we have to understand that we're going to go through our fair amount of suffering, and hopefully, you know, not too much physical suffering. But we will have that. Even if you're going to be a baby trying to learn how to walk, you're going to fall, you're going to knock your head, skin your knees, right? Is there anybody here who has not had the experience of having physical pain? We're going to have that. But hopefully that won't be too much. But we will certainly have other various levels of suffering, right? There's psychological pain and suffering. There's inner conflict that we might experience, emotional upheaval or upset. There might be angst or dissatisfaction and the like. As I shared with you last week, you know, going to India thinking I was going to come be awakened, and I had an awakening, a wake-up call, right? That caused me not to just be in such bliss, but to suffer until I understood how to move through that experience. And so, you know, pain is going to be inescapable. Although we try to avoid it like the Dickens. Everybody wants to avoid it, right? We want to seek pleasure and do what? Avoid pain. That's just a natural inclination for us, to want to seek pleasure, seek the good, but if somehow to avoid avoid any kind of pain. And I want to ask anybody, how's that working for you? Have you been able to really do it? You know? Uh-uh. Because we know that what happens when you try to avoid the unpleasant aspect, or as we name it such, it's just in a name, but to avoid that unpleasant situation or circumstance, what often happens is it just drives us deeper into it, right? Deeper into the conflict, deeper into the sense of struggling or suffering, because whatever we resist persists. Whatever we try to push away and keep down just simply gains more energy to want to come up and come forth. Whatever we try to deny, project out here, on there, anywhere but in here, it keeps coming back, right? Whatever is hidden in the dark will eventually do what? Come to light. It's going to come to light. And it may not always, you know, do so in the pretty manner. It might not always look good when it comes up either. So why not learn the art of suffering? Remember last week I said there's an art to suffering. Now you may think, now who in the world would want to learn that? Right? That's not something I really want to engage in. Well, we would really want to learn that if we understood that it can actually lead to transcending your suffering, liberating you from the condition, from the suffering, that can actually turn it into freedom, turn suffering into freedom, into peace, into acceptance, if you understood the art. So what is it that we need to do or be about or do with our suffering? Well, we can start by knowing, as any good true student would know and do, that the answer to all the suffering in our lives lies within us. The answer lies within us. But oh, how easy it is to think that the answer is somewhere where? Out there. That it lies with somebody else. Or in certain, if the situation and the circumstances were different, then I would be different. If something out here was changed, then all of a sudden I would be changed, right? If this were right and perfect, then I'd be happy. It's always out here. But the truth of the matter is that suffering is an inside job. We've all heard that cliche that says happiness is what? An inside job. As truth students, somewhere along the line you heard that phrase. Happiness is an inside job. Well, if happiness is an inside job, why not the same for suffering? Now, here's a major teaching that is presented at the Oneness University in India, the one that I had the full experience of and the opportunity to learn firsthand. There's nothing like experience to teach you, right? But this is what they say. They say suffering is never in the fact, but in the perception of the fact. Suffering is never in the fact, but in the what? Perception of the fact. Do you get that? Yes, it's never in the fact. Turn to somebody and say, suffering's never in the fact. But in the perception of the fact. Meaning things happen. Things are going to happen. Right? That's just a fact. Things happen. But it is what we tell ourselves about the meaning of what has happened that is the challenge. Right? It's the what we tell ourselves about the meaning about what has happened that is the challenging. Suffering is never in the fact, but it's in the perception of the fact. You see, your perceptions are subjective. How you see something and how I see something will more than likely be two different parameters, two different points of view, right? And sometimes what's even more is how you see something within your own self is subject to change, right? Because you might get a new understanding or a new tidbit to the situation, and somebody said that, well, now that changes your perception. So it's subject to change. Things will change. And there are a multitude of ways to perceive anything. For an example, you could be, I've given you this example before, but you could be, maybe you're a woman and you go into a crowded elevator. You open up the door and there's a bunch of men in the elevator. And so you quickly get in and you turn around so you can face the elevator door. And all of a sudden, you feel something touching you in the back. And automatically, you know, your senses go up. You're a little annoyed, maybe even upset, angry, mad, or whatever, because something doesn't feel right. If you've ridden New York City subways, you know what I'm talking about. You know when somebody's pushing up on you, right? And so you're not comfortable. And all of a sudden, so your perception is you're upset, you're angry, something's not right. You're going to turn around and give whoever some of your loving thoughts. And you turn around and you see that it is a blind gentleman with a cane. And he's just sort of putting his cane out, feeling his space around so he can sense where he is and how much space he has. Now, when you see that, all of a sudden, what happens? Your perception changes. All that anger, all that angst, all that upset dissipates, and all of a sudden, you might even find yourself experiencing some compassion and some understanding. Another perception, right? There could be a multitude of perceptions for every experience. Yet oftentimes what happens, friends, is that when we are in the throes of a situation and our perception of it seems oh so real to us, in fact, we then think that it is the only reality. Whatever my perception is, that's what's real. This is what's happening. And why? And we go off and running when in truth, it's just a perception that we have ascribed to. But we don't think that. We think, I have it, I'm experiencing it, this is what it is, it's real. Everybody else has seen it the same way too. Right? Haven't you gotten upset with people who didn't see it the way you see it? How could you not see this? It's so plain. This is the way it is. It's a perception. And a perception is a product of the mind. And the mind, as we know, a wonderful tool as it is. We forget that it's a tool. But the mind can be also very tricky. Right? Because it can play ego games. I did a talk on that once. Go get the tape and find out the various games that the mind plays, the ego games. It can distort reality. You can have everybody in this church. There could be an incident that happens, and you will all have a different reality of what took place. It can distort reality. It can even keep us from experiencing what is. And more, most definitely, it will make up stuff. Because the mind doesn't like ambiguity. It doesn't like not knowing, right? And so it will come up with answers, perceptions, judgments, and stories to bring us to a place of comfort. When we are uncomfortable of not knowing, being in the unknown, being unsure, the mind will help us to get comfortable by bringing us something that we think, okay, it's this. I feel comfortable now that I know. See, we think we're comfortable, and it doesn't matter whether we know the truth or not, just as long as we feel we know, right? So we feel comfortable. It's a false comfort, but nonetheless, it's a comfort. And as long as we don't look too deeply enough, it'll satisfy the ego. Whether it's wrong, right, doesn't matter if it brings us comfort. Oh, now I know. I've been experiencing so much more freedom and peace because I am catching myself whenever the mind wants to go into story making. You know, when something happens, I now don't have to find or tell myself why it happened. That's what we do. We want to figure out, it happened, now we got to figure out why it happened, right? I don't have to search for reasons or questions. I can just let it be. I can just let it be. And that is so freeing. And I find myself being less judgmental because I'm not evaluating the other person's behavior. I'm not trying to look into their actions, why they did what they did. You know, I don't have to make up why I think they did this or why I think they did that. They just did it. It just happened. The other day I was coming to work and right in front of me was a red car, and this gray car just came from two lanes over and just hit it right in front of it. And I'm looking at it. And he didn't look at the, you know, and I'm like, wow. And so for an instant, I kept thinking, well, what should I slow down, because I'm right in back of the car. I slowed down, and at first I wanted to, you know, figure out, well, why did he do that? And oh, my God, he's wrong. And should I get out and, you know, be a witness and tell them that, you know, this guy just came out on over and he did all this stuff. And then I said, wait. I just checked to see if anybody was hurt, and they weren't. And they decided, because I had to stop, and they decided to pull their cars over, and I just decided to bless the situation. I didn't need to get down in the weeds. I didn't need to, you know, give my interpretation. As long as they were fine and there was nothing needed in terms of medical care, I could bless it and I could move on. I didn't have to get into the scenario of it. What happens is, you see, we all want to figure out, well, what should I do? When there's a saying in New Thought now that says, what is yours to do? Do what's yours to do. Now, when there's something for me to do about that situation or any situation, it will just arise from a clear space. When I'm not given the story about what I think, it'll come from a clear space. It'll be without judgment. It'll be inspired action. It'll be without my mind's this, that, judgment, right or wrong, or good or bad. It'll be an inspired action. I'll move. I will do. It'll be a natural expression, right? Coming from a more higher divine plane, minus my stuff, minus my perceptions. That's where we want to be. Because if you were to examine your suffering, friends, other than your physical suffering, I'm not talking about that, but you will see that it really is all about what you're telling yourself. The initial situation may have been painful, it may have been hurtful to you or uncomfortable to you. And you may have to feel that, right? You may feel that. But the moment that situation has ended, so too should the pain of that situation. But that, we usually don't leave it there. We usually carry that pain forward, right? Long after the pain has ended, we carry it forward into the next situation. And then we suffer. We all know the saying that says pain is inevitable, but suffering is what? A choice. It's a choice. We carry it into the next one. Because at any given moment, you have the ability, you can choose a different perception. You can change your perception and change your experience. And a change in experience leads to a change or in transformation, a change form. So here is where the art of suffering comes in. Because if you can learn to simply face and embrace whatever is before you, it's enough to get the courage to face it, but then we got to go the next step and embrace it. If you can find that strength to simply face and embrace whatever is before you, even your perceived suffering, and not try to run away from it, to escape it, to deny it, to do all these things, to push it away, if you can do that, then you can naturally and spiritually transform it. There's a process in doing that. When you face it and you embrace it without trying to move from it, but seeing it, being out there, you will actually begin the process of spiritual transformation. The way out of your situation really is the way into it. When you get into it, all of a sudden you find yourself getting out of it. Stay with what is. See it for what it is. Stay with the pain. Stay with the discomfort. I was moaning and groaning. I was angry. I was mad. I was this. But own your feeling. Own your own feelings as it comes up. And something strange will happen, because when you begin to move into the feelings and into the pain and into what you think you're labeling it and whatever, the experience, it will begin to dissipate under your awareness of it. There's something about bringing light into darkness. Right? There's something about bringing the spirit of the divine of God into a situation that automatically it begins to transform it. Joshua 1:9 says, "Don't be afraid and don't be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go." In whatever situation, in whatever circumstance, the presence of God is there. But we don't get to it because all of a sudden we're trying to get away from whatever it is we're afraid of, whatever it is, the trouble, right? You know the old saying, trouble don't last always. Don't be afraid of it. It doesn't last always. Don't be dismayed by the situation or the circumstance. Just learn to be with it, to be present in it. Because if you can do that, friends, if you can acknowledge your feelings and you can own them, staying with them without denial, without unconsciously escaping the techniques, all of a sudden you'll bring light. You'll bring light that awakens and heals you and heals the situation. I don't know how it works, but it does work. Awareness is light, right? Let there be light, and there was. And so when you can own those feelings, when I'm talking about owning it, I'm not talking about blaming anybody else. I'm not talking about, you know, giving yourself reasons and justifications as to why something happened. You know, when I was in there, and India was like, well, they were at fault, and they were doing this, and they didn't see the real me, and blah, 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 blah. And I know, you know, all that stuff, doesn't matter. All those things just distract you from feeling it and experiencing the thing. Because, see, here's the power. When you don't experience your situation, it becomes unexperienced pain, and it becomes unresolved issues. And it becomes stuff that you just begin to then carry with you into the next situation, which you then again don't look at, don't experience, don't feel, don't acknowledge, which then gets bigger and deeper until you recognize that, gee, my life isn't working. My relationships are falling apart. I don't know who I am. I don't know what's happening. So the thing about it is you want to be able to face it, because those unexperienced things, unexpressed things get stored in the body. It gets stored in your psyche. It gets stored in your soul. And it pollutes everything. So what you want to do is to be able to face whatever it is and face it once. Because if you can face it once and if you can experience it fully, you don't have to keep repeating it. You don't have to keep having that experience over and over because you felt it, it was bad, you didn't like it, and you're done with it. Right? The art of suffering, to be able to see yourself in it, to feel it, is to free yourself from it. Because remember, it's not about the outer, not about the other. See all the stories. See the ego games you're playing. See when you're trying to escape it. And just learn to be with it all. That's such a powerful place to be. And if you can allow yourself to really have whatever is present, because knowing that in that situation, as you go through it and as you are able to shine the light of truth upon it, what you'll see reflected back is the grace of God. All of a sudden, when you shine the light of truth into something, the grace of God begins to work. God does the healing. God does the transform. Because if we could all transform ourselves, we would transform ourselves in an instant. Right? If I could really change, I would have done it. But we let God do the work. We let God bring about the healing and the transformation and the changing and the justice, whatever it is that we see God is working when we do the work, when we can allow. In the meantime, you see it, you feel it, you experience, you release it. See it, feel it, experience it, release it, surrender. That's the art of suffering. And then God knows what to do. Jesus practiced this. He understood this. A lot of your great saints and mystics or whatever understood this, but Jesus understood this. He did not resist his experience on the cross. Why are they doing this? He didn't do all that. He didn't blame others. He didn't try to make up a story about what was happening. He simply let it be. Nonetheless, not my will, thine be done. He didn't have this sense of resistance, and it was his non-resistance that was not a sign of weakness, but actually a sign of strength that enabled him to tap into the transforming power, that enabled him to all of a sudden turn darkness into light, death into life, fear into faith, crucifixion into resurrection. We can do the very same things. You are more than a conqueror, because greater is he, is that which is within you, than anything that is in the world. So what you want to do is to bring the light of your own being, your own presence, your own truth. Bring that to your situation and let the reflection be of God that comes back to you. The grace of God will be reflected. That grace will see you through. That grace will heal you, transform you. And in a twinkling of an eye, you'll be changed. The way out is the way in. And the way in is the way out. So let your transformation begin. Blessings. 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 Thank you.